B-Pod Studios.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, I have a medical condition that I'm not allowed to wear a mask, and I'm not required by HIPAA rules and regulations to disclose that.
Okay, can we shop for
you? So, what does that look like? I have private things I want to get, but maybe I don't want you to see.
For you, but I can't let you in the store without a mask.
Okay, so where's the regulations that state that?
The regulations?
Yeah.
That is company.
Because you're discriminating against me now. Do you know that?
I'm
you're discriminating against
that
me.
We can help you.
No, because I have private I have private stuff that I don't want you to see.
Then you can help.
Honey, don't be ashamed of one of the little Hustler magazine. I built an empire on Hustler.
So it said, I manage a retail store in Brookline. This woman has a local clone.
Well,
let's find out.
Well, that's Brookline, Rich. Come on.
Yeah. Let's find out what Walter has to say. Walter, hello, sir. Well, that wasn't very nice.
Well, I don't see Walter, a Walter.
Walter on line four, he seems to have a very distinct voice. Of phone being not operational. Jim, on line three, I must ask you of your opinion.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey,
just if you do a quick Google search of this lady, I'm pretty sure she's a flat earther. So just a cherry on top of the whole situation there.
Well, let's not badmouth flat earthers because some of us are very intelligent flat earthers. I mean, I haven't seen any. When I drive, I mean, I don't feel like I'm going in a circle. Tom, go ahead. Tommy, on line two, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey, what's up?
So I lived in Northampton, Massachusetts for 2 years. And, Fred, you think Brookline's bad. This place makes Brookline look like, I don't know. I don't have an analogy, but it's terrible. It's the worst place on earth. I was running a retail store. I was running a retail store there, and walking up to the front of the store, I see a lady just standing in the doorway. So I approach her, and I ask her, how's it going? She says she wants some sunglasses. I say, great. They're right over here to the left. They were literally four steps inside the door. She said she didn't want to come in because she was afraid of the air quality in the store. I stare at her blankly for a few seconds, and I say, well, what would you like me to do? And she says, well, can you just bring some styles over for me so I can look at them?
Oh, well, I mean, what kind of business is this? Is this like an eyeglass place, or is this like a gross? What is it?
No, it was just a regular clothing retail store, and we sold accessories as well, mostly
Lord
clothing,
knows.
But we had, you know, all
Lord
all
knows
usual
the
accessories.
Collection of sunglasses that you probably had. I mean, it was probably all the designer brands.
Yeah, all pretty cheap, but we had quite a few styles of them. But I had been there so long at this point that I was just beaten down by these people. So I'm just like slumped my shoulders and said, "Sure, I'll be right back." Well, grabbed an armful of sunglasses and just started showing them to her one by one until I got to the one she liked, and then I had to take her credit card over to the register and run the card for her and bring them over back out.
Okay, I will tell you a story, and I want you on the line for this. Is that I worked at a half-off card shop. It was called the half-off card shop. And I had someone come in and bitch about wrapping paper. So I just went in the back and took a nap. That was my that's what I did. I read the Hunter S. Thompson book, Hell's Angels, during my 3 weeks at the half-off card shop. That is what I did to erase the pain. Of working.
Now I wish I just curled up on the floor and took a nap in front of this lady.
You should have. I mean, I went because do you have a warehouse in the back?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Take a nap. Go up there and take a nap. It'll make you feel 100% better.
Out of retail, but if I was still in it, I'd be taking your advice today.
Yeah. I mean, I just would go in back and I'd go, okay. And I'd just go in back and take a nap. And then if the manager said something to me, I would go, okay, fire me. I don't care. Coke next door to the ground round, and they'll fire me. Then I'll go to the Buggy Works, and they'll fire me. So we'll just go all over the place and get fired.
Line three, I want to hear this because I've seen some – I've seen this actually happening now, too.
Really? All right. Yes. Well, that's a felony, I would imagine, at this point. Tom, go ahead.
Steak and eggs, boys. What's going on?
What's up, Tom?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I'll make it quick. It wasn't anything, like, massively, like, dramatic or anything. But, I mean, first of all, I see and deal with people like this Karen chick every single day. I work for a large beverage company. I've been to certain large grocery stores. So every single day I'm seeing or, you know, in most some rare cases dealing with crazy lunatics like that. And at the start of this whole pandemic thing, let's just say it was crazy. It's been crazy the last few weeks. And it was worn on all of us, me and my coworkers. And, you know, I'm sure some of them have had stories of themselves to deal with, but at the start of it we were running low on certain products, and I'm trying my best to fill the holes with everything, and I had a woman coming in and taking all of, you know, of a certain product in a size bottle that I had, because I guess there was a story running around on CNN at the time that these companies were cutting down on these products because of the virus and just stupid news, people believing everything they hear. And she's asking me for more. And I just looked at her and I'm like, well, no, ma'am, you just bought everything I had. I won't have any more till Saturday. She got very irritated with me and spit at me. That's just like, you know, just not like hawk the loogie, but just like, you know, just spit right at me. And I'm just kind of like, okay. I mean, I wanted to freak out, but at that point I was just so beaten down at the first, you know, wave of this whole hysteria that I was like, you know what, whatever. Eventually, though, I don't know what happened. I didn't report it because I generally just, I did not want to deal with it. I saw her getting escorted out of the store later on by the on the other side away from the grocery. It was a large department store, so she was over in another department area of the store, and I saw her getting escorted as I was filling another section of the store.
In all seriousness, and you know I'm not, if you listen to the show, I'm not overly paranoid about this. If someone spits at you, that's tantamount to assault. I mean, they can't spit at you right now. I mean, that's
right. It was disgusting. I mean, and first of all, this woman had a very interesting smell to her. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, I would imagine she wasn't the most hygienic woman. Yes, I would imagine.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. She kind of actually, you know what? And I'm not lying to you. I'm not just saying this to make you laugh. She reminded me of the Jacksonville lady. She reminded me of the Jacksonville lady.
Yeah, you don't think like Kathy Ireland's walking in and spitting on you because she didn't have the drink she wanted. So
certainly not.
Yeah.
Kathy Ireland's the one thing I can come up with.
You just went right back to 1992.
I mean, what are you going to do? All right, I want.
But real quick, so there's a woman. There's a video that went viral yesterday of a woman who went into one of these restaurants in a state where you can eat indoors. But even in those restaurants, they're spacing out the tables. And there was this restaurant where they had put these like markers on the table where you couldn't sit there and eat, and it would said this table is not to be used. Well, this woman went and sat down with, I guess, her husband at the time, and took the sign off the table and like sat there like, I'm sitting here. And when the manager went up and told her that unfortunately you can't use that table because of their guidelines they have to follow, she went up to him and like spit on him in the face. I mean, and she got arrested. She got arrested.
No, they've arrested people for in felony charges for spitting on food at grocery stores.
I just can't
and,
imagine.
And I am not overly paranoid about this epidemic.
Epidemic,
I said.
Okay. Pandemic, not epidemic. I'm losing my mind. Yeah.
All right. Whatever it's called. And I, if you spit on me, I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Like, so I'm not like all riled up. You spit on me, I have a problem with that. All right. Ray, I think we have something that DA would very much like. Ray, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey. In the mid-90s, I worked at a retail shoe store, and this is involving actually a guy, but he came in, and I was working with two other employees who were girls, and he goes, oh, my wife wants a pair of sandals, and then he looked at both girls, and one of the girls was probably about 4'2" and wore like a size 5, and the other girl was pretty tall. She was probably in her like 5 foot whatever, and they both had two different size shoes. But he wanted them to try on sandals so that his wife, so he could pick out a pair of sandals for his wife. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize at the time that I was working in...
What's the problem? It sounds completely rational.
I was like, can I take a video of this?
Well, a picture says 1,000 words. All right, so what happened? Did they try on the shoes?
Well, one of them did, because he said, well, you look a little bit more like my wife's size, but I wouldn't mind seeing both of you guys try them on. And so I wasn't at all. I was probably like 18. I had no idea that was a thing. And I have a ton of stories. After listening to you guys, I have so many stories about creepos coming into the store.
Some say creepos. Some say perfectly logical.
Really beautiful.
Thank
feet.
You. All right, we have to break because we have Bruce Cassidy coming.
Yeah,
out.
Oh yeah.
Ray, what you're saying seems perfectly rational. Toots and Rudy's.
Yeah, oh yeah.
All right, so we'll take to Bruce Cassidy. Maybe he has foot fetish stories. We'll talk to Bruce Cassidy in just a moment.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Check this out. Crunch for time, but still want to know what happened? Listen to Condensed in a Nutshell. Versions of the shows on the podcast page at 98.5thesportshub.com and the Sports Hub app.
Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, in the meantime, news on Tuesday from the Canadian government that the U.S.-Canada border will remain closed for non-essential travel right to June 21st. And, of course, immediately in our world, you think about how that impacts pro sports and, in particular, the National Hockey League and its efforts to reopen at some point. What we're told, without any real specifics, is that neither the NHL or the NHLPA feels that that will impact what they are working on right now in terms of return-to-play protocol. And there's a couple reasons for that. One is that, of course, they don't think they're going to play actual games till mid to late July at the earliest. And number two, phase two, which is small group workouts, is voluntary. The players don't have to come back for phase two. Obviously, a lot of them are going to want to so they can finally skate, but it is voluntary.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and hockey is a great game. And we will talk to Bruce Cassidy in a matter of minutes. What I'm liking is the huge breaks we get in between talking.
Did you get out of your chair this time, Fred? Did you get a chance to get away, stretch a little bit?
Yeah. Well, you know, when you go through two therapists in a day, Josh, you really got a lot of self-esteem.
You know what you are, Fred? You're emotionally exhausted.
Well, you know, when you go through, you're trying to improve yourself, John, is what you're doing. But when you go through two and one's nice and one's a prick, then you kind of, and even when your wife says the guy was a prick.
Yeah, that's a clue.
Yeah, that's a clue that he's a total prick that wants more money than I care to spend. Because you know what insurance doesn't cover? Psychotherapy.
Therapy, yep.
Yes. So $120 out of pocket for some guy to be a jackass to me isn't really what I'm looking for. So can we? And my wife was like, why are you being such a dick?
What was his response to that?
Yeah, I was just going to ask that.
I don't know. I left the room. I've left the room twice out of four times. Told me to go to the hospital. Goes, well, if you have this much of a problem, go to the hospital. All right. Bruce Cassidy is on the line hearing all of this. And he is the coach of your Boston Bruins. And we always a delight to interview him. He's on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Bruce Cassidy, hello, sir.
How are you, fellas?
Well, according to one therapist, I'm fine, and the other one says no. But
think positive.
I'm going to run with the one who said I'm fine. All right, so Mr. Cassidy, when you hear Canada banning non-essential travel, do you think that it's an imaginary line where travel shouldn't be an issue?
Well, non-essential. I mean, hockey is essential in Canada, so we should be fine, right? No,
that's right. That's right.
Well, we were saying any government employee that votes to make sure that this gets extended, this lack of hockey, isn't going to get reelected in Canada if they continue with this method.
No, I don't think so. So I'm hoping we can, you know, get past this hurdle, but I guess time will tell, right?
Well, sure. Okay, and the thing is, too, Bruce, what are you hearing? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, I got to think that this whole game has changed. Like, almost weekly, the plan has changed, the things that we're hearing from all these insiders. What are they telling you about what they're planning to do?
Well, I'm going to be honest. There's not a whole lot out there because I think everyone's still, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unknowns. I mean, I could tell you they've discussed adding teams for not your typical 16, playing some sort of games. That's where there's still discussion. Is it adding to the regular season? I think originally they wanted to finish it. I think that, you know, to get in those many games and all the teams together, I don't think that's going to happen now. Will it be 24? Will it be 20? My guess would be it'll fall somewhere in there. It won't just be 16 and then, you know, your typical straight 4 out of 7 series. Because I think the players, you know, want to get some games in before they go right into the playoffs. So how many of that ends up being, like I said, I don't know the answer to that. But I think it'll be more than 16, be my guess.
Okay, so Bruce, is that fair? Because obviously the Bruins, you were amazing during the regular season, and it kind of cheapens the regular season if they allow all these teams to compete for playoff berths. Where do you stand on that?
Well, from our position, I'd rather it just 16. And I would rather it just be, again, this is just me and you talking. I don't have a say in all this. But I'd rather it be, you know, 16 teams, 4 rounds of 4 out of 7. Let's go. That's the integrity of the playoffs. It's always been that way. I understand the player's perspective wanting to get some games in before that because it gets ramped up in a hurry. You know, playoff hockey, there's no hold barred, so you're off, you go. And I think that's tough on the players. Other years, you know, they'd be allowed to work out and skate, you know, like going into, if you talk about a training camp, the guys have been typically going into September. If that was the case, they've been working out in August. They've been able to do nothing for the most part. The odd guy might be skating in Sweden or, you know, a couple of those European countries that are open, but so they do need the time to ramp up health-wise. So I get that. So that's the tough part about, you know, kind of the scenario I'd like to see. But at the end of the day, it's going to be unfair for somebody down the road. I mean, it's just the way it is. Even if you went with 16, what about the two teams that are at the bottom?
Right.
There's the points versus the point percentage. You know, sometimes I think, you know what, no one's going to remember if you just do a blind draw, one team's in, one team's out. They're not going to remember that in a year from now. It's still a legitimate playoff, but hopefully we get to that 16, you know, in the right way, and it doesn't hurt us. I guess that's where I'm coming from, that we don't get kind of screwed in this process because we shouldn't be. We should be rewarded for our regular season, but I don't think any scenario is going to be perfectly fair. I understand that.
But that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. Yeah, I mean, if you go through the regular season and you have the most points, that's unacceptable. Right, that's, I mean, they can't do that. Yeah. They can't do that to you. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, what did you play for then?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
I think our guys, like Cam and Donnie and, you know, ownership will argue for the best deal possible for us. I don't think, you know, they're going to want to see us, you know, get hurt in this process. I just think sometimes when you have these circumstances where we're just trying to get some, you know, some hockey back in, get playing in, you know, probably empty buildings by, you know, every account. And I think that was originally discussed. Now it looks like it's going to be automatic. So it's just for TV, which would be great to get back playing and get something on TV. But at the end of the day, you probably have to sacrifice for the good of the game. I guess that's will be the question put to the teams that are the field that, you know, because, you know, I guess you could put Tampa. They've had a good year. Vegas on the other side in that category. If they kind of lose some of the edge of that regular season from what they've earned. So, but that's the way I look at it right now. I'm just hopeful we get a chance to play, to be honest with you. Cause I think, you know, I love our chances no matter how it shakes out. But you're right, to a certain extent. It may hurt us the way they reconfigure this thing.
So, Bruce, there is, I mean, the NHL, their plan has kind of gone all over the place. And at first, they were talking in the interest of keeping the players safe. They wanted to limit it to maybe two different locations that they would try to run these playoffs through. And now all of a sudden, we're hearing eight different, you know, spots that they might make this happen. Where is your head when it comes to minimizing or not? Like, do you feel safe with it being with the eight different hubs? And where is your head at as far as the chances of getting infected with the travel? And how does the team think about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, every guy's going to think differently, particularly guys with families or some that has someone vulnerable with a condition in your family you want to be around. So those are things that I'm sure are being discussed. What's the best avenue? And then there's no perfect answer. So for me, we kind of understand that we'd probably have to be away from our families in some sort of quarantine for, you know, the question is for what stretch of time. Are you allowed to bring your families with you if the testing is appropriate, is up to speed, and, you know, meets all the requirements? I'm going to leave that to the medical people. But at the end of the day, that's going to be a big challenge for the players coming back. And I think, you know, the less amount of people, that's the other argument for less teams for me, is the less people there, the less chance of infection, the less, you know, your risk goes down a little bit if you're not bringing in 24.
There's no positive.
You know, coaches, trainers, whatever. So the more people around, you know, the more likely someone's going to test positive, you know, for the virus. So that has to be considered as well. So there's a lot that goes into it. They got a tough job in front of them to get this organized. So that's why I, you know, try not to be too critical and just hope that, you know, we're in a good position to succeed once we get going.
Bruce Cassidy,
real quick, Rich, I have to tell you that there is indeed a landline ringing at my parents' house, which you might not hear very often. But can you tell us, because we don't obviously know, is there going to be a difference not having fans in the stands in terms of quality of play? Like, how much do you value a home game in terms of not just, you know, being able to keep on your schedule and the familiarity of being in the town? How much does crowd noise matter in hockey?
Well, I mean, I think it works for both sides. I mean, if you're a player going into a hostile environment, you know, it usually ramps you up, you know. So for both sides, I think you lose a lot of that adrenaline rush that you're going to have to create yourself. And I think once the pucks drop and you get used to, I think the first game will be completely weird. You know, I don't know if they'd pipe in music, what they would do to try to simulate it. But I think it'd be strange. And then you're just going to play. I mean, these guys are hockey players. They're just going to play once you get going. And it'll be different for sure. You miss a big part of that. Because like I said, I think every player, you know, feeds off the energy, especially the nights are a little bit off. Now, in the playoffs, it shouldn't be that way, but we are going to have some nights, every team, because you haven't played in so long, that you're going to be a little bit sloppy. So, you know, that kind of, you know, reels you in a little bit. So that part of it will be different, but if those are the parameters, so be it. I think guys are competitive in practice. There's no one around, so I think just the natural instincts will take over for the players, and you'll miss that part, but I think you'll still see good hockey once you get past the sort of initial weirdness of no fans around.
Yeah, now, Rich, I don't know if I should tell you this, Rich, but it is someone's birthday today.
Yes, Bruce Cassidy. Congratulations. Happy birthday.
Yeah, creeping up there, fellas. Almost at retirement age here. Yeah,
yeah, and another year. You're still on the planet. But you're pretty excited during this whole time. But happy birthday. And congratulations to Ty Anderson for letting me know that it's your birthday. And happy birthday.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to I'm not sure what, but we're looking forward to it around the house. Here,
you get to stay home. So
I get a drive-by. Maybe I'll get a drive-by parade. My kids will organize something. You never know. Never had one of those, so there you go.
You can have a Zoom birthday party. Nothing less depressing than that, than a Zoom birthday party. Go ahead, Rich. I'm sorry.
Speaking of age, this is, I mean, Marcia had talked about this because, you know, the Bruins, you have the second oldest team in the league, and I don't know if that's a benefit or a detriment in this environment to where you guys kind of got to go from zero to playoffs. And I could see with a veteran team, you guys are obviously, you know, since these guys have been there before, you can get on the page quicker, but it's also older legs. Where do you think the Bruins stand? Is this a benefit or a detriment to have such a veteran team or an older team as the Bruins?
Yeah, you know, I'm surprised we're the second oldest, to be honest, because we've got a lot of young guys we rely on. So it's interesting. We don't have a lot in the middle, that middle sort of age group.
But just skews the entire thing. Like, I mean, it's like... know, it's,
yeah, you know, like certainly, you know, Z and Bergie and Kretch, you know, I think their experience will help us more than their age. Will work against us, to be honest. Those guys are true professionals. They've been there. They know how to prepare. Tuca... put him in that category. And I think we have enough young legs early on to carry us. If those guys aren't recovering, you know, quick enough, it takes a little while to get into the game. We have DeBrus that's young, McAvoy's young, Grizzlich, Carlo, Lozon, who now we put in our lineup. You know, so the majority of our defensemen are under 25 years old. I mean, Torrey obviously is a little older than that, and then Gutsy, but there's still three, four, five guys that are young. You got Corrali, who's got good legs, Nordstrom's got good legs. They're young. Pasternak's, you know, good legs as a young guy. Charlie Coyle still, you know, he'll be fine. So I think we have enough youth in our lineup that we can push through to, you know, to those guys find their legs. So I'm not worried about that. I think it's an advantage to, I think that the toughest team mentally will win the Stanley Cup if it is in fact played this year because of all the hurdles they're going to have to go through. And I like that in our group. I really do. So I think it's an advantage for us.
Are you hearing a date to be ready, Bruce? Have they told you, like, here's a date that you need to be ready by?
Not really. It keeps getting pushed back. I'll tell you, we thought we might get into our facility this week and get, you know, two, three guys skating. And then, you know, a couple hours later, some other guys can trickle in, you know, small groups. But that didn't happen. So we were originally told probably, you know, don't plan on playing until the end of the summer. And that hasn't changed. But when do we actually meet, you know, to get together as a team, start a training camp? It's all speculation now. It seems to be, you know, I don't even know. I would say maybe late June, early July, something like that. I always heard that they'd want to play by July and August. If, you know, I'm you know, I want to sort of, all of this depends on, you know, the governor and the medical people, obviously, but that was kind of the original game plan. And I think we're not that far off it right now, but I guess we'll see how this, you know, the virus plays out, if the curve's flat and going down, all that, all the medical stuff. So that's kind of what I think. But again, I'm just like you guys, just kind of spitballing that. And
okay, so Bruce, you're getting kind of screwed being in Massachusetts. I mean, being in Boston in terms of, I'm not saying that what they're doing is wrong, but you're getting kind of screwed in terms of your preparation. Other states are ahead of that. Is there a opportunity for you guys to go somewhere else? To move the team and to practice in another state or another city? Or is that not something that you guys can do?
It hasn't been discussed. I think that would have to be cleared by, again, players would have to agree to that because you're leaving your families behind, which you're probably going to have to do later anyway. I'm not sure the other teams should be up and running if we're not. I thought that was part of the agreement would be until every team is clear to start working out. So maybe they've loosened those rules a little bit. So that would be unfair to us if other teams have a head start. And I think that's why they're going to need to build in, once everybody's cleared and okay to get together as a team, they're going to have to build in an equal amount of time, probably of at least 2-3 weeks, so that, you know, there is that sort of equitable factor in the length of training camp. The preparation before, again, that's we're just, I guess, in the wrong state as far as the ability to do that right now. But like I said, I'm not sure they're supposed to be able to do that. But like I said, I don't know who's monitoring that, to be honest with you.
Okay, right, so well, Bruce, when you talk about other – Rich, let me ask a question. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you so much. I'm an expert. But when you talk about, like, older players having to get back into it, my first inclination would be that older players could use the time off. In terms of, like, they can heal. I know Bergeron has got nagging injuries. I'm sure Chara's got, you know, crap that's got to get healed. Is that a reality? Or is it truly that the younger players are going to benefit by this time off more than the veterans?
Well, as I said, I think it would be the recovery time. The younger guys always, you know, listen, your body's... The younger you are, the quicker you bounce back. It seems no matter what you do, it's just, you know, that's just physics or whatever you want to call it, genetics. But at the end of the day, that'd be my concern with the guys that have been there. How quick can they get their legs back under them? How quickly do they recover? And they are physical specimens, our veteran guys. It's just, that would be my concern. You start saying, okay, we're going to play every second day, you know, for the next 2 months, will they recover quicker after this much time off? I'm not worried about them, you know, getting their legs and playing. They're smart guys. You know, our team is structured well the way we play. We're not all over the map. So I think our guys will get that back quickly. It's the younger guys will have to carry us with the energy. And then it's how quick do the guys bounce back? And again, we're trying to put stuff in place for that as we get going. But that'll be some interesting decisions. Do you practice at all with those guys during the playoffs if they need that extra time off? And typically during a normal playoff wouldn't be a conversation because they've been practicing all year so that they get it. But being this off this much, how much sharpness are you going to lose by not practicing versus how much extra recovery time you're going to get? So those will be the decisions we have to make as a staff, and hopefully we'll make the right ones.
All right, Bruce, well, no one can really seem to agree on anything nowadays. However, one thing everyone on the team seems to have a unanimous opinion on this offseason is that Tuukka Rask has unbearable gas. Bruce Cassidy, have you experienced this firsthand? It has become quite the storyline.
No, I'm at the front of the plane or the front of the bus, so it hasn't made its way up there yet for me. So I'm going to have to take the fellow's words for it, which I do. Tuukka didn't seem to argue about it much, so it is what it is, I guess. There you go.
Are you concerned about his diet and how that is affecting the smells that come out of his rectum?
Yeah, I would be. But hey, you noticed the other day he was on some show and he was in his own basement. His own wife put him down there, so there's probably answers to your question right there.
He's quarantining for a different reason.
So he belongs to my country club. You know who doesn't like me? Tuukka Rask. So anything negative, well, I'm not the smelly one.
That's what
anything
I'm saying.
He's jealous
of how fresh you smell.
Well, I would assume so. I can't see why anyone else would not like me. I mean, I am truly a gentleman and a scholar. Yes, he is not a fan of mine, Mr. Cassidy, which I hope...
Maybe play a round of golf with him and, you know, make double on 18 or something and then lose, and maybe, you know, that'll sway him to be a buddy or something. Who knows, you know?
First of all, if you assume that I can double bogey 18, I thank you very much for that vote of confidence, because that's never going to happen. But we're talking about, like, picking it up. I got a 27 handicap, Bruce. We're not really dealing
with... That'd be a good score for you. All right, well, you need a quadruple in 18 or something. You got to throw it. Some one way or another, let him win. And I'll get him on the good side.
I'm taking Gorman out. Maybe I take you out on the course, and then you unveil all the secrets that are going on with the team. Well, listen... We're very much looking forward to hockey. I mean, we truly believe that it's going to happen, and hopefully they don't screw you. And I mean that sincerely, that you guys achieve so much during the regular season. I would hope that benefits you going into the playoffs.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks. I think we're going to be ready no matter what the scenario. Our guys understand what's at stake. We just, again, with all the uncertainty, I think it's hard to concentrate on, you know, hockey right now. It's like, what's happening next? But hopefully everything gets cleared up. People are safe. We can get back in playing and
get entertaining again and get a crack at this. I think that's what everyone wants. So
yeah, I think you underestimate the importance of it. In all seriousness, I think you underestimate the sense of regularity that it would bring to people when you guys certainly get back to playing. Yes. And I think that that would be great for everyone in Boston, and I think that would be great if Trudeau gets out of his own butt and allows people to travel. I would assume that that would be good. But Bruce Cassidy, thank you so much for the time. It's always a pleasure to interview you. And if you ever want to beat someone at golf, I'm more than happy to play with you. And I won't fart like Tuca. But
I got some free time, so I'm going to hold it to that. So.
Well, I'm in Tennessee right now, where they actually let do things. So
Tennessee, I didn't know that. Well, you're out then. I'm not going that far to play.
they actually allowed you to go out here. So it's something else. All right, Bruce Cassidy, thank you so much for the time,
thanks,
sir.
Bruce.
All right, thanks, fellas. Have a good day.
Appreciate it.
Man, I almost had a heart attack when he said, well, what we're thinking is that there's going to be hockey in late summer. I was like, oh, my God. And I was thinking the end of August, and then he kind of, like, started clarifying that, no, maybe more like July. And I was like, all right.
Yeah, it's been long enough. They can't push it that far. They can't, right? Am I wrong in thinking
they can't push it that far?
They can push it that far,
and then you push the beginning of next season back into mid-December. I mean, I'm sure they can push it. Sure.
I mean, what would they need? I want you guys' opinion on this. Is what
a plan? Fred, they need a plan. That would be helpful. They don't have one.
Fair enough. But what would be the advantage of starting in August instead of starting sooner?
There's part of me, Fred, that thinks that they want to do this. They truly want to do, instead of this 12 thing, I think they want to do a thing like Vegas. And I heard, I don't know if it was Pierre LeBrun or if it was like a Darren Drager or somebody, but I mean, the players don't want to have to move around. They're all for, it sounds like everyone is all in on if they've got to be away from their family for a month and a half, they'll do it. But what they don't want is to have to travel all around, and that I understand. So I think that maybe the NBA and the NHL are trying to figure out how to do it in Vegas, because Vegas would be the best place for both of them because of the size of the hotels and you wouldn't have to move around as much.
Well, one thing I'll say is that the NHL seems completely intent on having it in multiple cities, and I don't think the players
There's no reason.
Well, there's a monetary reason, but listen, we are very late.
All right.
Will you pay attention to the clock? Already?
Love having Bruce on, though. He's excellent.
He's excellent. All right. We'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mm-hmm. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Dutcher and Rich. Now, Rich, are we going to wait on this, or do we have to go to trial immediately? Is there enough time to go to trial? I guess not. I'm going to assume no.
We can wait. We can wait a moment. We can wait a little bit, I think.
Because this is going to take a lot of investigation. Because I don't like this human being.
Yeah, I
that
know.
We're going to investigate.
Nobody likes this human being. Like, no one, like, this is one of those guys, like, who's a fan of this guy?
Yeah.
But I think court will be in session at 9. I bet we do 9:20. We'll do 9:20.
I'm going to say 9. Because we just talked to Bruce Cassidy.
Okay.
Which was breaking news in the sports world.
We just broke everything.
In a world with no sports. So I am going to suggest that we do this at 9.
Okay. All right.
If possible. I mean, when court's in session, I don't want to, you know, push the federal government to do anything like
no
that.
No, not now.
Not now.
That is a false prima cortulation.
Premature.
Stop.
That is a very interesting way of putting it.
Okay. Not yet. No, 9 o'clock. We'll do that at 9 o'clock. But have you been seeing, and we knew this was going to happen, the backlash that Michael Jordan's been getting from this documentary?
Yes. Horace Grant in particular is very angry.
I will tell you this, is that it's sad because, again, there's no local radio here. So when I'm in the car, I'm listening to ESPN Radio, and they have lowered themselves into talking about the best players in NBA history.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And going through, like, Karl Malone was a huge topic of discussion. And I don't remember the woman's name. Sarah Spain. And apparently she was in Chicago during the Jordan era. Uh-huh. And, the boredom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
No.
just the boredom. But I guess Scottie Pippen, Horace Grant was upset about the way that they talked about Scottie Pippen.
He didn't come across great. And remember, this documentary was, like, okay, you know, financed and – not financed, but it was greenlit and was approved. Everything had to be – like, Jordan had to see everything before it was aired. So, I mean, it's his story. So it's however he wanted
right.
to frame it.
But the way it was. According to Sarah Spain – that they said, dude, I'm listening to stuff in the car. I went to Arby's yesterday. It was the highlight of my day.
Oh, so, Joe, highlight good for you. What are you talking about?
I'll tell you that. Is that you get yourself a sandwich and you're living all right. So her point was, and I've watched like a couple of the episodes. I haven't seen them all. I can't lie. But her point was that there was in earlier episodes – they were very complimentary towards Scottie Pippen, and that people had forgotten about that, and the negativity towards him was just one part of the whole thing. So
I mean, the Scottie Pippen thing, I don't even find like the 10th most interesting thing that went on. That, I mean, the fact that like Michael Jordan just held these grudges, and the Horace Grant thing's great because Horace Grant, you know, he's the one who Michael Jordan blames for running his mouth to the press so that book, The Jordan Rules, came out, where he talked about all the like drama that was behind the scenes. He basically just ratted out everyone, according to Michael Jordan. And he said that in the documentary. Horace Grant denies that ever happened.
He denied it in the documentary. He said he didn't do it.
In the documentary.
Did he also say that he's won 85 championships?
He did, but he also said this.
He said, I was a snitch. But yet and still, after 30 or 35 years, he brings up his rookie year going into one of his teammates' room and seeing coke and weed and women. My point is, why in the hell did he want to bring that up? What's that got to do with anything? If you want to call somebody a snitch, that's a damn snitch right there.
It's a great point. I mean, that's a great point by Horace Grant. Like, if you're going to call someone a snitch, you called out your entire team. And I think he basically said it was the entire team except for him that were all doing coke and hooking up with, like, you know, these women on the road. And, I mean, that there was one player, and I forget which one specifically it was, who said that, yeah, that was a difficult conversation that he had to have with his family.
Well, I guess episode. Dan just told me that he called Scotty Burrell an alcoholic. And
yes.
He was...
There was a big scene on the team playing where it was just the scene of the two of them playing cards, and he basically said Burrell had been out all night, and, you know, he's with a lot of different women every night.
As opposed
like,
to
don't
Jordan.
Say this in front of the camera.
As opposed to Jordan, that was home very early when he wasn't in Atlantic City, partying until 2:30 in the morning. All right, listen, we have to break, but when we come back, it's time to get serious. It's time to figure out if a guy with a big nose farted. So we will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.